Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Man shall not live. To you, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you.
Welcome to St. Stephen's United Church online worship. We are very pleased that you can join us today. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Please join me in today's call to worship. The disciples said to Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." Let that be our plea as we come to worship God, who has been made known to us as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Come, let us worship. And at this time, if you usually light a candle for worship, please join me as I light the Christ candle here.
For the presence of the Lord, the Holy One is here. Come bow before Him now with reverence and fear. In Him our sin is found. We stand on holy ground. Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One is here.
Let us pray. Eternal God, we come to you with hungry hearts, waiting to be filled with a sense of your presence, with the touch of your Spirit, with new energy for service. Come to us, we pray. Be with us, touch us, empower us as your people, that we might worship you and act in the world for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's say the prayer of confession for today. Lord, you know how impatient we are. We knock at your door in our prayers of supplication, and not hearing an answer, we presume you are not at home to us, and we turn away. Forgive our hastiness, we pray, and teach us to listen more carefully, that we may truly hear and understand your response. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Friends, Scripture assures us that Christ Jesus comes to reconcile us to God and to be reconciled to one another. Recreated in God's image, we're made whole. So when we are in Christ, everything becomes new. Our past is just that, our past. Friends, believe this. Your past is done. You're free to go and to reflect the new life that you have found in Jesus. This good news is ours. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen.
Good morning. Today's reading is from the Gospel of Luke, and I'm reading chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. He said to them, When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial. And he said to them, Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So there's a really interesting flow to our readings this month. In today's, we actually get to pick up right where we left off last week when we were thinking about the time that Jesus visited Mary and Martha. I hope you remember that last week we used that reading to encourage us to shift into some more summary rhythms. And in those rhythms, to intentionally spend some time with God, maybe in ways that we don't normally in the rest of the year. Today we get to pick up right where that left off, and we continue on in this travel narrative as Jesus prepares his disciples more, even more for their mission. In today's reading, the disciples actually have seen how central and essential prayer is in Jesus' own life. And so they ask him to teach them to pray in the same way that John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray. Now, that's not an uncommon question for somebody to ask of their rabbi or their pastor. In the church of today, we actually have quite a famous story of this. Eugene Peterson's a name you've heard around here. He is the creator of the Message paraphrase translation of the Bible. He was also the pastor of a Presbyterian congregation in Maryland for a long, long time. Over those years in the pastorate, his congregation would come to him and they would ask him to teach them to pray in much the same way as Jesus' disciples asked him. Now, to begin with, Eugene was a bit puzzled by this because he thought of prayer as quite a natural thing to do. If you could talk to another person, then you could talk to God in his mind. So he tried to figure out where the complications were lying for people. One time, one of his congregants who had come to ask him, talk to him about this, responded to one of Peterson's queries. And he said, well, I can't possibly pray because I can't pray like they pray in the Psalms. That response illustrated something that is not uncommon. Initially, it can seem, especially early in our life of faith, that prayer is just a bit foreign. For lots of reasons, it is something that doesn't come naturally or easily to some of us. Sometimes that's because it's just beyond us. Sometimes it's because we have an idea in our minds about how it should sound when it's done right. Maybe it should sound like the language we hear in the Psalms. Or maybe it should sound like someone we've heard pray particularly eloquently. We think we have to be able to pray like that if we're going to pray at all. Well, one of the basic problems with those thoughts is that they imply that there actually is a right way to pray, and consequently a wrong way to pray. In fact, Jesus' disciples' own question of him, Lord, teach us to pray, shows us that they had this idea that there was a right way to do this. I'm not sure in the end that that kind of thinking is especially helpful for us in this, though. Jesus responded to his disciples, and he tries to help them to get things a bit sorted out. Briefly, he did talk to them about praying and asking for things like provision for their needs, and forgiveness, and protection. But then he went on and he told them that parable about the man who's pounding on his neighbor's door late at night looking for bread that he needs to feed his guests. And then he finishes with that example he gives of parents who give good things to their children, saying that if it's true that parents do that, then... Now, at that point, though, he takes a bit of a left on us. As you're listening, it can seem like he's about to offer us this great assurance that all of our prayers will be answered. We can almost slip into hearing him say that our prayers will be answered simply because it is in God's nature to give us good things. Now, I think that it actually is in God's nature to give us good things. But if you paid attention in this reading, you will have heard that that is not actually what Jesus said. The whole thing ends not with him saying that our prayers are going to be answered because God likes to give us good things. Jesus' teaching on prayer ends with that last minute curve that he threw in. I hope you caught it. He doesn't say God will give us whatever good thing we ask for, but rather that God will give us the Holy Spirit if we ask. Now, where did that come from? Well, I think to answer that, we need to step back a bit and we need to think a little bit about the nature of prayer itself. So, what is prayer? Is it only talking to God, asking God for things? Or is it bigger than that? Is it possible that prayer is bigger than simply speaking to God? It's that idea of speaking to God that often gets in the way of many of us feeling like we can pray. We think that we can't possibly speak properly, say the right words, or come up with the eloquent phrases. But I want to pose to you an idea that maybe prayer is about much more than just speech. There's actually a verse in Romans, you may have heard it, that talks about prayer sometimes being beyond words, that sometimes our prayers take the form of groanings that come from deep within us. That would suggest that prayer is about much more than just the spoken word or even the thought word. Maybe prayer is as much about connecting to and reaching out to God in any way as it is about anything else. Maybe it is about us turning our attention to God, moving towards Him. And if that's possible, then that curveball that Jesus threw in at the end of our reading is actually really good news for us. He said that we can be sure that God will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. So if we ask, then Jesus is promising that the Spirit of God will come to us. So he's saying that as we move towards God, God comes to us. Sort of like the prodigal son's father running to his son as soon as he sees his son come over the horizon. As we turn and seek God, the Spirit will come to us. That's quite a promise. Now, one of the things that really struck me about this reading was the timing of all of this. If you stop and think about it, Jesus was saying this to his disciples before his crucifixion, which means that he was saying it before the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit happened at Pentecost. Now, we live on the other side of that great outpouring, so we know that the Holy Spirit will come and live within us as we follow Jesus and as we seek God ourselves. It's a basic understanding of our faith. And I dare say that because it is so foundational, we might even at times be a bit guilty of taking it for granted. But try to step back. Be these disciples who, for the most part, were faithful, devout Jewish believers. People who knew that the Spirit of God would certainly come to people at certain times to rest on certain people, usually for a specific purpose. That had happened throughout the history of the people of Israel. The Spirit had come to people like King Saul and King David, for God's great prophets, for anyone who needed the Spirit of God because they were about to play an important part in the progress of God's story. In Israel's experience, the Holy Spirit came to be with people who were special, not to average men who were trying to follow a controversial itinerant rabbi. But imagine Jesus' disciples hearing him say that God would give them the Holy Spirit if they asked. That would have been quite a mind-bending thought for them, that God's Spirit would come to any one of them, that all they needed to do was seek him. What an amazing, incredible gift they were being promised. A gift that we should actually find as amazing and incredible if we really stop to think about it. So while it is not wrong for us to ask God for things when we pray, thinking about Jesus' answer in this way shows us that prayer is about so much more than just asking God for what we need today. Prayer is also about connecting with God and maybe even in the process hearing something from God, sensing something of God's heart. Not just about what God thinks about what we want, but even more about what God actually wants for us. Maybe prayer is about connecting so intimately with the Spirit of God that through His Spirit, God is able to guide us in every aspect of our lives. Through His Spirit, God can shape our desires so that we don't just come to God with this laundry list of things we want, but we come to sense the things that God wants for us. And we come to want those same things for ourselves. So our prayers become about those things. They become reflective of God's heart for us. All of this is so important to our understanding of prayer. It shapes how we learn to pray, how we practice prayer, and the place prayer actually has in each of our lives. So as we pray and we seek answers to our prayers, I think that remembering this teaching Jesus gave to his disciples is really important for us. Because what Jesus is saying to them is, yes, you can pray. You can seek God's protection and provision and mercy. But above all of that, the most important reason to pray is so that we might actually receive something God dearly wants to give us, Himself. We can be assured that when we ask for God's Spirit to be with and within us, God's going to answer that prayer in abundance. And it truly is the best answer to our prayers. This gift of the Holy Spirit, the abiding presence of God living within us in every circumstance and through every trial. Friends, the longer I walk this road with Jesus, the more I come to see that it's actually God's presence that changes things, that changes me. That's why in this passage, Jesus is saying that God Himself is actually the best and surest answer to any of our prayers, whatever they may be. Amen.
Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Please join me in the prayers of the people. Father God, we give you thanks for those who have gone before us and from whose questions, struggles to know, and wisdom we benefit. Thank you for the Mary and Marthas of our life and our church, for the gifts of new possibilities that await just there in spite of our distractions. We give you thanks for those who see things we cannot because of our fear, our experience, our knowing. For those who wonder in ways that surprise us, invite us, and challenge us. Father God, we give you thanks for those who work so hard and continue to do so even when we take them for granted, when we betray them, when we neglect to treat them with justice or respect, when we assume and presume and then are shocked at their rebellion. Our God, we give you thanks that it is not all about us, that you continue to care and to love and to create possibilities of redemption and new life, not only here among us, but throughout your world. Help us get over ourselves enough to be able to sit in your presence like Mary. Help us to have the humility and the courage to wonder, if only for a moment, if you are about something greater. Help us to carry that same spirit or curiosity and discovery beyond these walls into the world in which we serve and which you love. So let us, in your name, dare to hope. Let us dare to hope for peace throughout the world, that no child will go to sleep hungry and none will find shelter under a piece of cardboard, that violence will be absent from families. Let us dare to hope that you have not forgotten even us, even at this place and time in our lives. Make us a dangerous people, for once not to each other, but to all those resentments, preconceptions, and reasons why your future should not be the future for your church and for your creation. We only dare such craziness because we sit in the presence of the one whose prayer we echo. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Friends, with gratitude for the generous ways you've all given to the work of the church this week, will you join me in dedicating these gifts to God and to God's mission in this world? Lord, we know that there are multitudes who do not have their daily bread. There are also untold numbers who do not have the bread of life. Use these gifts and us, we pray, to help meet the needs of these people in your name. Amen. Go forth today, remembering who you are and to whom you belong. And as you go, may God the Father bless you and keep you. May God the Son save you and direct you. And may God the Spirit teach you and guide you this day and evermore. Amen.